Okay, we're in Parshas Tzav. So the Rabbeinu Bachai starts off with the pasuk in Mishlei, Hokar raglecha mi beis re'echa, penis pa'echa usna'echa. That you should take your feet away from your friend's house, lest he become too full of you and hate you. So the Rabbeinu Bachai says, what this pasuk is teaching us is that a person needs friends, which is interesting, that's what he learns from it. A person needs friends. A person who has friends is obviously a good person. A person with a lot of friends must be a good person for two reasons, he says. Because someone who has a lot of friends, he must be a shval ruach, he must be a humble person, because bale gaiva, no one would be friends with him. So a guy with a lot of friends, or a girl, whatever, so anybody with a lot of friends would be probably humble. And confident, he says. Einu yari min abrios. Someone who's confident. They're not afraid of social interactions. So someone who's got a lot of friends can have both those things. They're going to be humble, not a big bagaiva, but they're not afraid of people. And he says someone who has that is saved from the negative parts of being rich or poor. Or one of them, the bad midos that come with being rich or poor. Because he says rich people can be bali gaiva, because they're rich, and they can talk with gaiva. So someone who has a lot of friends obviously is humble and doesn't do that. And then someone who's poor can lose confidence and be afraid of everybody. And he says that that's bad. And that a person should be confident. And therefore, someone who has a lot of friends must be a laudable person. So this person should have friends. And you should go to your friend's house sometimes. Just not too much. Because if you go too much, then you'll become hated. Then it'll turn, while being friends and going to, you know, having friends is a great thing. Like he says, it's mar b'shalom, makes more peace in the world. But if you go too much, or if when the guy, like his examples, if you go when he's eating or sleeping, whatever, so then it starts to get annoying, and then that love turns to not love. So that's what this pasuk is telling you, to not go too often. Go some, but not too often. Okay. What does this have to do with karbanos? Well, the medrash. Right, all of Parshat Tzav is Karbanos. So the Medrash on that pasuk, Hokar raglecha mi beis raglecha, says that it refers to the Beis HaMikdash. That a person should come to the Beis HaMikdash, but not too much. Why not too much? Because most of the things you come to the Beis HaMikdash for are for Karbanos, which are for sins. So the pasuk is telling you that Hashem would rather you not sin. Don't say, oh, I'll sin, I'll bring Karbanos, it'll be great. No. Hashem does not want you to sin. He'd rather, hine, as the pasuk says in Shmuel, hine shmoa mizevach tov. That's what Shmuel said to Shaul. Listening to Hashem is better than bringing karbanos. Hashem doesn't want karbanos. He'd rather you listen to him. So you come to Beis HaMikdash, don't come too often, meaning don't do averus that you should come to Beis HaMikdash. However, there is another pasuk. And that other pasuk in Tillim says, avo beisecha ba'olos, I will come to your house with olos. So that sounds like come all the time, which is what the Medrash points out. And the Medrash says, Kan b'chatos v'shamas, kan b'olos v'shlamim. So the pasuk that's saying, don't come often, that's to bring too many chatos, too many sins about sinning. But Ola is different. And the way the Rabbeinu Bachai explains why an Ola is different, an Ola you can bring all the time, because he says the Ola is there to be a kapara on hirhur chet. Just the thought of doing a sin. That's what the Ola is, a kapara on inappropriate thoughts. Especially, it sounds like from what he describes here, hurries nos. But any kind of hurim, any bad machshavas, that's what the karban Ola is a kapara on. Presumably have a hurri of Odazara too, but he says it's brought, the pasuk says that the karban, right, the first pasuk of Tzav says, Zos Torus Ola, Hi ha ola al mokdal mizbech kol halayla ad haboker beisha mizbech tukad bo. So this carbon ola, which we said is brought as a kapara for thoughts, bad thoughts, so that is burnt on the mizbech kol halayla. So he says the pasuk is emphasizing it burns the whole night, because that's usually when you do the avera. That's when a person has hirhurim. So that's why it's like that. And it's the isha mizbech is sholed on it. And he says, this was a little bit later on in the parasha, he says that the reason why the Ola gets completely burnt is because the person sinned with his mind, not with his actions. So the carbon is completely converted into Ruach, gets burnt. It's totally destroyed, so it gets converted into Ruach, because the Avera was done with Ruach, so this is a kapara through Ruach. He also says, while we're on the subject, that the Ola is the most chashuv carbon, and that's why it says Hi HaOla, like that is the most chashuv carbon. Later on, when the Pasuk lists all the Karbanos, starts with Ola and ends with Shlamim, he says it ends off with Shlamim because we always end everything. Shalom is also chashuv. Shlamim is a carbon that we do eat part of. It brings Shalom between the Bnei Yisrael and Hashem. So when we list the Karbanos, we start with Ola and with Shlamim. And that is because we always end with Shalom because Shalom is so chashuv, like we end Shemana Esrei with Shalom. Always end off with Shalom. Okay, generally he says there are 13 karbanos, 13 different types of karbanos, and that is there are 5 different types of menachos, like the minchasolis, marcheshes, machmas, 5 different types of menachos, and there are 8 different types of karbanos, which are the chatas, asham, ola, toda, shlamim, bechor, meiser, pesach. So they're all told 13 different types of karbanos, he says, and those are connected the yud gimel midos. Okay, the beginning of the parashah talks about also the Trumas Adeshen, that is where the Kohen every morning would take off some of the ashes on the Mizbeach and put it on the floor, and it would sink into the floor. They would put it on the floor by the Mizbeach, and it would magically disappear. You have to wear your big day kuna for that. And Rabbeinu Bechai sees in that a lesson, that a person, even though that's a dirty kind of job, you're taking away ashes, you still wear a big day kahuna because when you're doing a mitzvah for Hashem, you always treat it with kavod, even though it may lower your own kavod. It may look silly to be dressed up in a suit, taking out ashes. But when we do a mitzvah, then we are mechabed it, because it's ratzon Hashem. And he says that's what we find by the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. It says all the tzaddikim used to daven and throw torches. And we find by David HaMelech that it says David mecharker b'chaloz, that David... And Michal didn't like it. David danced very, strongly in honor of Hashem. Michal, his wife, did not appreciate it, and she said, "You made yourself look dumb." But the Rebbeinu Bechai said, "That is the point. That a tzaddik is supposed to lower their own kavod and honor for Hashem, because that's all we care about is honor of Hashem. And therefore, even if it lowers your own kavod, a person should still be mechabed the mitzvah." Even if it's not the nicest mitzvah, not in the sense that you could get dirty doing the Trumas Adeshen, still wear mechabed every mitzvah. And he brings a medrash, and the medrash says that whoever is marbe in kvod shamayim and lowers his own kavod, both kvod shamayim is raised, and that person's own kavod will be raised. And someone who's mamayim in kvod shamayim and marbe in their own kavod, they'll lose their own kavod. Okay. Next thing he discusses is the mizbeach. Because the Pasuk said that the fire burns on the Mizbeach at all times, right? And we know that there was a fire that came down from Shemayim that was always there on the Mizbeach. And we would add the mitzvah lehavi min ahead, you'd add your own fire to the Mizbeach as well. But there's always fire on the Mizbeach. And the Mizbeach was made out of wood with a diner's worth of copper covering. And yet nothing ever happened to it. So he says that's one of the miracles. And that's why the Pasuk is pointing out, look, that there's a fire all the time, nothing happens to the Mizbeach, and that was one of the miracles that was there. Also, the Medrash says that when it says, Hi HaOla, it's referring to Gaiva, someone who raises themselves up, and they are Nidon Be'esh, they get burnt, like we find by Paro, who said, Mi Hashem Asher Eshma Bekolo, he was talked with great Gaiva, and he got the borrowed, which had H in it. Okay. Anyway, we talk about Kohanim a lot and Karbanos. The Ramban, Rabbeinu Bechai, rather, just as a one-liner, says that the women Kohanim, right, Kohenes, so they do not eat Kachi Kachim. They can become Metame. They can't do the Avodah. They're Metame Lamesim. They're very much not like Kohanim. And he says, one-liner, because Heim Garma Misa La'olam, that since women caused death to the world, meaning by Chava who fed the fruit from the Eitz Hadas to Adam. So because of that, women can't be a real Kohenes. She can be Metami Lamesim. Many times people think of the restrictions on a Kohen to be a burden, especially a Kohen may think it's a burden to have to always watch to not become Tami. But it's a privilege, obviously. It's something that when you are selected to serve Hashem, and in the Beis HaMikdash, you have to be on a higher level of Kedusha. So that's why the Kohen can't be Metame Lamesim. Anyway, so ladies who can't be Kohanim, they are allowed to be metame lemesim, even though they're the daughter of a kohen. They can still be metame lemesim, and they don't have many of the dinim of kohanim, because heim gor mum yisrael olam. Okay, we also find in the parsha it says that if you get any of the karbon onto a kli, right, the psukim talk about it, how you have to kasher it, right? Because if you have a karbon, if it gets nivla, it gets swallowed up by the kli, you have some of the flavor of the karbon inside the kli. After 24 hours, after the time, it's noser, and so you have to kasher that kli. So what about a kli cheres? A kli cheres you have to break. They ate a lot of stuff in kli cheres in those days, so Ben Abchai points out that it says that they would, you'd have to break, the pasuk says you have to break the kli, and it would, another one of the miracles in the Beis HaMikdash is that it would be also magically disappear. Because he says it had to be that way, because otherwise the whole Azara would be filled with kli cherises that people were breaking, because they used a lot of kli cherises, and it always turns to noser eventually. So it was a nace that they were all swallowed up miraculously, like many of the things there that were swallowed up miraculously. And then he goes on to list all the different, all the 18 miracles. He says there are 18 miracles in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Mishnah Pirkei Avos lists 10, but there were 18, he says, and lists them. Just the one I wanted to point out, which is in that Mishnah, that the Ruach did not overpower the Eish on the Mizbeach. In other words, not the Eish, the pillar of smoke. Says the wind did not blow the pillar of smoke, and it went up in a nice column. So he says that's talking about the fire that man made on the Mizbeach, because the fire that was from Shemayim had no smoke, as the Gemara in Yuma says in Yuma Chaf Aleph on Beis. Anyway, he's got all. I don't think we need to go through all the 18 miracles, but we already mentioned a few of them. Also, he talks about the menorah, that the shemen in the menorah was never too much, it was never too little, it was exactly just right always, and that the ner hayimtzai had the same amount of oil as everything else, and yet you would use it to light from everything. Sorry, you'd use it to light the other candles. Okay, anyway, you could, if you want to see the whole list, it's in it is in Perek Vav. On the Pasuk, Pasuk Yud Ches. Okay, so the Karban Toda, as we know, had these different chalos, the 40 different breads, and 10 of them were chametz. And so he asked, how could you bring chametz as a karban? We said, kol sor v'chol dvash, you can't bring as a karban. Kol sor v'chol dvash lo saktiru. So how could we bring chametz as a karban? And the answer is that's just if you would bring it on the mizbeach itself. But here we're not bringing it on the mizbeach, you just wave it. You just do tenufa. And the other type of tenufa, the other things we are mainif are the chaz of a shok. When you give you wave the chaz and shok. And also, as we know, you wave a lulav. And he says these are all the tenufas, chaz of a shok, and the lulav. It's the same idea, which is molech and maybe malo morid. You put it forward, take it back, like you do with the lulav, to all the arba ruchos and up and down. And he says, interestingly, the reason he thinks that we do tenufa, the part of the animal we do tenufa with, is the chaz of a shok, is because that is the part that makes the animal move, in the sense that the heart, he says, and the legs is what makes the animal move, and we're giving Shevach to Hashem that he makes the world move, that the earth turns and everything moves. And also there's a remez to it that this is similar, like we said, to the something to remember when you do the Nanuim on the Lulav, that it's also a remez to Golas and Geula. Because the pasuk says Vayelchu b'lo koach lifnei rodef, they went, which means in galus without any koach. That's the molich. You just take it, you push it away from you, the chaz of a shok or the lulav, and then you bring it back. As the pasuk says, Hinini mevi osam eretz tzafon, that Hashem takes us back, and you go up, as it says Vayal kvod Hashem meal tocha'ir, that Hashem shechina left It's like the Shechina going up, Umerid, and you bring it back down, because Hashem will eventually return the Shechina to Klal Yisrael, to Yerushalayim. So it's a good thing to remember Sukkot's time, to have that in mind, because he says it's the same Lulav and Chazav Shokt. When we do this Tnufa, that's what we're supposed to have in mind. It's a remez to Golas and Gula, going away, coming back, going up, and coming back down. Okay, and also he says there's a remez to Tchias HaMesim. He also quotes Psukim to back that up. It says the Ruach Olech, the Spirit goes, Vatavo Behem Ruach Vechiyu, and it comes back, and they live again. And also the Neshama goes up to Shemayim, and then it'll come back down to Aretz. So it's also a remez to Tchias HaMesim. Also, he quotes the famous Chazal. It says, "Kala osik beparshas ola ki ilu hikriv ola." Whoever is osik in the parsha of ola, it's as if you brought an ola. Whatever parsha you're learning of karbanot, it's as if you brought it. So he just wants to clarify that that does not mean you say it without any thought. It means you have to understand it. Through understanding it, if you understand the inyan behind it, then it'll be as if you brought a karban. The way he explains that is, if you understand the inyan of the karban, so then you it'll bring you to tshuva, and you'll end up doing tshuva. But at least you have to understand it. That's when he says, also the famous Chazal also says, whoever says Ashrei every day is Muftach Shu Ben Olam Abba. He also says, it doesn't mean saying Ashrei brainlessly. It means if you pay attention to Ashrei, you'll come to a higher level, and that person will come to Olam Abba. Another interesting thing he points out when it says, the Pasuk says, Vatikahel Ha'ida Pesach Ol Moed, that the whole Klal Yisrael met in front of the Ol Moed. He says, that's an ace. You got the whole Klal Yisrael to show up in a teeny little place like that. Small area, he says, yeah, it was an ace. All the times you find when Klal Yisrael come to this one place, that's an ace, that the Miut is Machzik as Hamaruba, a small place can hold a large crowd, that they could all come there, that was an ace. And he says, this is the more interesting part to me, that in Tchias HaMesim we're going to have the same problem. How is all of humanity from the time of Adam Rishon going to fit in Yerushalayim? He says, you're right, an ace. It'll be an ace. Hashem will be, as the Medrash says, in Imarchav is Yerushalayim, Hashem will extend Yerushalayim, will stretch out Yerushalayim, but it'll be an ace. Okay, also he points out that there, the Kohen Gadol has to wear his eight begadim in a specific order. There is a Seder to the Big Day Kuna. The Rambam talks about this. He also says that there's a Seder to the Big Day Kuna, although not everyone agrees that he meant that it literally had to be put on in a certain order. But the Rebbeinu B'chai seems clear that the order that you put on the Big Day Kuna is very important, because it's connected the seven kochavim, the seven, like the kochav and ma'adim, the seven constellations, or whatever, the seven planets. So each one of the Big Day Kahuna, the first seven, minus the tzitz, are connected those seven different mazalos. And it's specifically in the specific order because it has to be connected that order. And the tzitz is connected the Kisei HaKavod, which is on top of all of them. But you can see in the way he lists it that he obviously means each, in the order he gives, which is the Ksonis Avnate, well, the Michnasayim, Ksonis Avnate, Me'il, Eifod, Choshen, Mitznefes, Tzitz, that each one he explains how it's connected to that kochav, so it obviously has to be put on in a specific order. Okay, he also talks about the Urim V'Tumim, and he says that is when the Kohen Gadol got that message of what the Urim V'Tumim meant, that was like Ruach HaKodesh. He says, in other words, less than Nevuah, more than a Baskol, this type of Ruach HaKodesh, because Nevuah, as he said before, as is known, by Nevuah a person loses all of their they lose all their feelings, and but as Ruach HaKodesh is not like that. And he says, Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim is also these different levels, that Torah was, well, let's take Nevi'im. Nevi'im, a Navi, when he gets a Nevuah, they lose all their Hergeshim, they fall down. It's a high level of connecting to Hashem. They lose all their physical control. But Ksuvim were said Baruch HaKodesh, he says, on a lower level. And Torah is on the highest level, said on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's why it's always, he said, put in that order, Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, because they're on different levels of Nevuah that they were said. And he says that therefore, that's why Chazal tell us that you can't put Ksuvim on top of a Navi. You can only put Navi on top of Ksuvim because they're on a higher level. Now, I don't know where that is. I looked in the Musada of Cook versions. He doesn't know where it is either. It doesn't seem that there is anywhere in our Girsa of Shas where it says that. We have Nevi'im and Ksuvim always together. Torah, yes, Torah is different. But Nevi'im and Ksuvim we don't have separate, but he says they are separate, and he had that Girsa. I'll just end off with one last interesting point. where it says that the Bnei Aaron were supposed to, Aaron and his sons were supposed to sit in the Mishkan, right, in the Shivas Yemei Hamilum, and then on the eighth day they put it, started the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, and that's when Nadav and Avihu died. So the Medrash, it's actually Medrash Tanchum and Shmini, but the Rabbeinu Bechai brings it here, that they had to sit there 7 days. The Shivas Yemei Miluim was a pre-Avelos. It was an Avelos for Nadav and Avihu that were going to die, but hadn't died yet. And this Medrash says, it's just like it says by Noach, by the Mabel, it says there was 7 days, and then the Mabel came. It says, it was after 7 days the Mabul came. That was, Medrash says, an Avelus on the world that Hashem did before the world was destroyed. The Gemara says, the Medrash says, well, there's such a thing. How could you be Misabul before the thing died or was destroyed? And the Gemara says, well, that's because Hashem's different than regular people. Regular people, they're not going to sit Avelos in advance because they don't know if and when the person will die. Hashem knows what's going to be, so Hashem can sit in Avelos in advance. And therefore, Hashem knew what was going to happen to Nadav and Avihu, and therefore he told Moshe to tell Aaron that they have to sit there in 7 days in pre-Avelos and didn't tell them why. And then when Nadav and Avihu died, they figured out why. Interesting, you can look it up. The Medrash is at the beginning of Shmini. It's a Medrash Tanchuma. Okay.